You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
And last week, Ryan talked about a comeback. He talked about how God is always on the side of those who need a comeback. He's always cheering us on and ready to welcome us back with open arms. And today I'm going to be talking about looking back and how in order to put our life back together, we got to look back first. And I'm going to be talking about memories and reminders. And a good memory of mine from my childhood is playing with Legos. I don't know if you guys did that, but that was like my thing to do as a kid. We had these big, giant tubs of Legos. Some of them were like passed down from my dad. Like this was like basically a family trade. Almost, as a child, that I got into with my brothers, and I would always love like getting the big sets, like the big, especially like the Star Wars sets. I always wanted this one. Can we throw up that big one? I wanted the Star Destroyer. I wanted that one because it was so big and it had so many pieces. But what I would often do, especially with the Lego sets, is I wouldn't look at this thing. I would just get right into it, you know? I just want to put it together, you know? And so much of my life, I live like that. Like, I don't read the terms and conditions. And I know nobody does, but I don't read the instructions for anything. It doesn't matter if it's IKEA furniture or what it is. I don't touch that stuff. I just want to do it. You know that phrase that Nike has, just do it? That connects with me. That connects with me. But I think when it comes to putting our life back together, that doesn't always work. You can't just do it. Imagine trying to put this together to just do it. It's sure, you could just do it, but you gotta look back at the instructions, at what you've been given first in order to move forward. And I think that, you know, Forrest Gump, Reverend Forrest Gump, said this, life is like a box of chocolates. And I today would like to say, life is like a box of Legos, you know? You get handed a bill of goods. You get handed a bunch of weird pieces. You get handed some family members that you didn't ask for, you know? And we all have that uncle. You know, I'm gonna actually go hang out with my family today. you know, we all get these pieces and parts of our life that we didn't sign up for. Some of them we definitely signed up for. And we're trying in the midst of all of this to put together something that makes sense, something that fits. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but I can guarantee you that you've either been in a place where your life has fallen apart, or you're in a place where life has fallen apart. And I know this because some of you are open enough to share that with me. You know, some of you are experiencing a new stage in your life. I know one couple at this church, you know, they're struggling with memory loss. You know, how do you put your life back together when you can't even remember who you are? How do you begin to sort out the pieces of your life? And folks, there's so much going on. There are so many different pieces in our life that when things fall apart, if we only look at the pieces, we can start to get overwhelmed, can't we? It can start to get real bleak really fast. And I haven't experienced this really personally in my life. You know, the closest thing that I have is my mom had cancer, got through it. The Lord got us through it. But it felt like there was one thing happening after another. When she went through all of her surgeries, she developed a thing called frozen shoulder. And she couldn't move her arm about above here. And in that moment, I remember seeing my mom's mood deteriorate. My mom's this upbeat, like excited person. She's always encouraging. And I just saw my mom kind of not be herself anymore because of that struggle. And maybe you're feeling that today. You're like, I can't put it all back together. It feels like just one thing after another is missing from my life. Maybe you've had something major just leave your life. Fly out of your life. Exactly. Drop out of your life. There was I saw this on the news. There's a woman, a young lady named LaShonda Childs from Dayton. And she was in the middle of getting a restraining order for an abusive ex-boyfriend, who then came back and took her life. And I cannot imagine what those parents are going through. I've got a brother the same age, and I just can't imagine losing him. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know what that loss looks like in your life. It could be really small. But whatever it is that's missing from your life, you may be asking, how do I put life back together? Especially when there are pieces and parts missing that I can't get back. What do I do next? And folks, I believe if we stare at all the pieces of our life, we can get really overwhelmed really fast, and things can get really hopeless and really bleak really quick. And so how, and my question is, how in our Christian life do we fight against the hopelessness? How do we stand up against the evil of this world that is domestic violence and its result? How do we do that? And there's a guy who's named Asaph who wrote a song that I'd like to look at today, because I think it's helpful for how we make that switch, how we put our life back together, especially as Christians, especially as people who want to believe and follow God. And I love the Psalms because they're so real. You know, if you read the Psalms, David and the other writers give it to you straight. They're like, God, I'm pissed at you. Things aren't going right. Things are missing in my life. And maybe you can relate to this first part of this psalm today. It's in Psalm 77. So if you have your Bibles, if you have it on your phone and you want to follow along with me, that's great. Go ahead and pull that out. It'll be on the screen. And I just want us to read this psalm and recognize the fact that if you feel like your life is in pieces, you can tell God, man, I don't get it. I'm upset with you. I don't feel like you're there. God is ready for our honesty, folks. And if there's anyone in life who you can be honest with, it's God. Somebody one time asked me about the language I use sometimes. And they said, do you talk to God like that? And I'm like, yeah. Because God can handle it. God can handle our sorrow. You know, God lost his son, watched him die, you know? So there's no loss, there's no tragedy that God can't relate to us about. He gets it. And so Asaph gives it to him in this. He says, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and I ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Maybe you've asked a question like that. Maybe you've asked, will he never be kind to me again? Maybe you've asked, is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? These are questions that, you know, I like I said, I've had a pretty good life, but I've asked those questions. I've asked God, where are you at? Why are you leading me into this weird place where I don't know where everything fits? Why did you take that from me? And then he finishes with this statement in verse 10. And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. And we know from the scriptures that God doesn't work like that. God is always on our side and God is always with us. But in the midst of the struggles and the tragedy of this life, it is easy to believe that, folks. Is it not? When you turn on the news, when you look and see all of the hurt in the world, sometimes it makes you go, is God really there? And we need to wrestle with that question, folks. We can't just shut off the TV because it follows us everywhere with our phones and stuff. I want to point out something that I recently read an article about. There's a guy named Dr. Martin Hilbert at USC. In 2011, he did a study about how much information our brains process as Americans on an average day. And he found in 1986, it turns out to about 40 newspapers worth of information that we processed on a daily basis. In 2011, we were processing about 174. Now, that was before unlimited data. So I have no idea where we're at now. Think about that. The average American processes 174 newspapers worth of information a day. And the writer of the article said this: when we get that much information, it's hard to determine what's trivial and what's important in our lives. It's hard to separate the immediate from the important. And I studied poverty and culture as part of my degree. And we talk about the one of the big struggles of the poor is that they're under so much trauma and stress that they cannot decide what is important and what is trivial. And maybe you have experienced that in your life where you're under a stressful situation. It's hard to determine what's true and what's false. We're living in an age of fake news, apparently, folks. And you can see why, when we process that much information on a daily basis, why we don't know what's true and what's a lie. And folks, it is easy to believe that God is not there for you if you don't take time away to remind yourself that he is. Because sometimes we lose our peace, I think, and this has been true in my life, we lose our peace because we're so focused on the pieces of our life. And we forget that God is the one who made all these pieces in the first place. God is so much bigger than whatever you're going through right now. Let me tell you that right now. God is so much bigger than our church, than the problems of the world. God has existed before time began, and he will exist after. But when we're in the midst of a struggle and a crisis, it's hard to remember that. And so what do we got to do? We got to look back at what God has done to remind ourselves of what he will do, and how do we work in that? This is what Asaph does here. Let's just look at this. He fights off his hopelessness, the depression, the fear in his life by doing this. Let's turn to the Psalm 77, verse 11. And he says this: "But then I recall, Lord, all you have done. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, oh God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea. Your pathways through the mighty waters. A pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along a road, that road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds." What does Asaph do here? To put his life back together, to center himself. He looks back. He takes a step back and says, who has God been to me? Who has God been to my people? And he uses a concrete memory to remind him, God is with me. Even though I don't feel like it, God is with me, and God is going to lead me forward, even though I don't see the path yet. Let's go look back at verse 19 and 20. It says, your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. When you're in the middle of a crisis or a tragedy, who are you going to trust? Is it you who's got this perspective looking at your problems? This probably looks really goofy to you right now. But to God, it probably looks pretty goofy to him as well. This is us in our lives. We're looking at our problems. We're overwhelmed. We're like, there's so many pieces, because there are. And God's like, I'm looking back here. I see it all. I know how it all fits. I know what you need to do next. The memory that he's talking about, that Asaph is talking about, is not even a memory he experienced. It's a memory that his ancestors had, that he passed down. It's family history. What happened was that Moses and Aaron were leading the Israelites out of Egypt. out of a place of slavery and oppression. And what happened was, is they got to the Red Sea, but the Egyptians were chasing them. They had an impending crisis. They were trying to put their lives back together. They were trying to make themselves into a people, but there was a crisis. And they were in between a rock and a hard place, the sea and the Egyptians. And no matter what they would do to put their life back together, to fix it, to solve their problem, they couldn't just do it. I don't know if you've ever tried to cross a sea without a boat. I haven't. I just assume that that would be virtually impossible, especially for tens of thousands of people. So what God does is if you'll remember the story maybe, he splits the sea open and he gives them a path where no one saw it before. And our God is a God, and if you've been here long enough, this is definitely my like MO when it comes to preaching. God is a God who can take the broken pieces of our life and put them together in a way that we never saw before. In a way that we can't even imagine. Because God is the God of the pieces of our life. We are not. And so, in order to fight against the hopelessness that Asaph faces, he reminds himself that God is bigger than his problem. That God is bigger than the issues that he faces. And we have to do that, or else we will lose ourselves in the hopelessness that we face. Folks, I'm 21 and I'm already really cynical. I'm already like, really, I seem positive, but it's a facade, folks. I don't know. We're facing a climate crisis. You know, I was learning something the other day that if we don't do something about our environment, and maybe you, some of you believe differently about this, and I don't want to offend any of you, but I'm just looking at the science. If we don't do something now, in 2100, the sea levels will rise 6 meters. And it just, the problems in our world and the problems in our life seem overwhelming, but then we have to remember it's okay because God has done it before in our lives and he'll do it again. I don't know if it's true for you, but it's true for me. Unless we are conscious about what we remember, who knows what we'll forget? How many of you have all those advertisement jingles in your head? Like, call 1-800-STEAMER. I was singing that to myself this week. So annoying. Maybe you have that like baby shark song stuck in your head. The phenomena is over, but it's not over in your head. No, please stop. Right? Oh man. But I don't know about you. I didn't try to remember that, but I definitely did. There are things that I've tried to remember that I definitely forget. I was talking to Steed today. Like, I have my passwords all written down because I lock myself out of an account roughly every week. Is it the one with the 3 or is it with the capital? And then it's not even the right combination of passwords. I have like about 4 passwords that I mix up and change up to rig the system. If we're not conscious about what we remember, who knows what we'll forget? My parents, for the first 5 years of my life, not to dog on them at all. I love my parents. They're crazy awesome. But they thought my birthday was January 31st for the first 5 years of my life. It's January 30th. So sometimes I will write 01-31-97 as my birthday, and I'll go, no, wait, hold on. Sorry. For the first 5 years of my life, I was the firstborn. If we aren't conscious about what we will remember, who knows what we'll forget? And the truth is, folks, God can do something amazing for us in our lives, and he already has by sending his son Jesus. He already has by giving us a community of faith and believers to be with. He already has by giving us his Holy Spirit. But sometimes God does something really personal for you in your life. But in order for you to get through the next crisis, you got to look back at the old one to remember that God's still faithful. Because if not, you're going to get lost in the pieces and the problems of your life. Because I know I do. When I was looking at coming here, I wanted to have everything lined up by February. And March rolled around, and everything was not lined up. And April rolled around, and everything was not lined up. And I kept praying. I was like, come on, God, like, make something happen. I need a job. I need two jobs, really. All my friends had jobs. And I remember that worry and that stress that was on my mind and my heart. I remember that I tried to just do it. I tried to put out applications. I called old mentors. I emailed people, and God's like, nope, nope, nope. I remember I applied for a teaching job in Columbus, actually. And I was like, I'm going to get this. You know, I've got tutoring experience. I run an after-school program. Like, I'm going to get it. Denied. And I was like, what's going on? Why can't I make all this fit? And, you know, I talked to Ryan, and I decided to come out here, and I prayed about it, and the Lord let me out here. But I don't know if you know this. This is a part-time gig for me. We're all bivocational. And I didn't have another job lined up when I was moving out here. I was just going to live in Jerry and Lynn's side room for as long as it took. Scary. For them, too. I mean, imagine if I was living in your house an undetermined amount of time. Whew. Scary. I remember that, and I was so stressed out. I was so worried about not having a job. And I only applied to, like, two places. Because the Lord just told me, just apply here. Just don't worry about it. And the day before I move out here, FedEx calls me. He's like, hey, do you want to come in for a job interview? I was like, yeah. And during that whole period, I wish I would have looked back before at the memories I'd have of God bringing me to the place where I was that day. I remember the Lord, you know, making a way for me to go to Mount Vernon, making a way for me to get out in 3 years debt-free, you know? The Lord had done stuff in my life, but I forgot about it. And I was so stressed out because my problem was bigger than my God. And folks, if we don't look back to God, he's going to look a lot smaller than our problems. And so I think that the Christian practice that we need to adopt, or a practice in general, if you're not a believer here today, I think this is a good life practice. This is what successful people do to change their life. They find role models. They find reminders in their life to remind them of why they're doing something. If you look at any athlete, any successful person, you know, if you want to make a change in your life, you have to get up in the morning and repeat a phrase to yourself. You have to place a role model in your life. You have to remind yourself of why you're going through the trial and the tribulation and the difficulty to get to the place where you want to be. And I think in our Christian lives, we need intentional reminders. Intentional reminders of what God has done for us. And maybe you're saying to yourself, I'm new to this. God hasn't really broke into my life yet and done all this crazy stuff you're talking about. That's okay. Asaph doesn't use one of his own memories. Asaph uses his family history. And folks, we've got a big old family history right here. You heard what Sarah said. We are sons and daughters of God. We're part of the family here. Amen. That's right. That's a good thing. God has brought us in. He's given us an inheritance. You know? And the reason why we tell these old stories is because these are our memories too. Just like when you're sitting around the table with your family and you hear about your great-great-grandpa and you live through that with them, even though you didn't experience it, that's what Sunday morning's for. That's why we tell these stories. That's why we tell these stories. And it's like when you're talking with your friends about the good old days. That's what it's supposed to be like. It's supposed to remind us of who God is. It's why we have Christmas and Easter. So we don't forget about what God has done for us in our lives. And so I don't know what that reminder is for you today, but I want to look back at how the Israelites reminded themselves, because they were a forgetful bunch, folks. You read this Old Testament, man. They were dumb as rocks, those Israelites. And guess what? We are too. We're just like them. If we're not conscious about what we'll remember, who knows what we'll forget? Who knows what we'll forget? And so God told them, you need to set up intentional reminders to remind you of who I am. One thing they did is they would place stones or altars or pillars. You ever heard of a memorial? Sorry, I'm a bit sick. A memorial that we would place. There's a reason why a memorial has the word memory in it. It's to remind us. And one story in 1 Samuel 7:12 is when the Israelites were facing this big army and the Lord took care of it for them. And so they placed the Ebenezer stone. Ebenezer means stone of help. And so we need to do that in our lives. If God has done something for you in your life, or there's a story from the scriptures that inspires you, place a reminder in your house, maybe out front, maybe in your car, maybe at your desk, to remind you, God was faithful to me. God came through. So that your problems don't get so big that God gets too small to solve them. Because God is way bigger than our problems. We just have to remind ourselves of that. Another thing that they would do is they would, God commands them in Numbers 15, starting in 38. He says, put tassels, put little pieces of cloth on your clothes to remind you of my commandments so you don't forget them. I have this little bracelet that reminds me, that Casey gave me, it reminds me of a time. This is actually the coordinates of our this is really cheesy. Not me. It took me forever to wear this bracelet. Struggles. But now I love it. It is a huge, important reminder to me of a really goofy memory. It was our first kiss. Our first kiss was a train wreck, folks. It's a literal train wreck. Watch this analogy. My mouth, her mouth. I didn't know if we were going to come back from that, folks. And maybe you're sitting in your life going, this is a train wreck. So this reminds me is of, if we can get through that, we can get through just about anything, no matter how awkward. Maybe. Don't know. I'm pretty awkward. I tell Casey all the time, you can back out now. In like 7 months, you can't back out, but you can back out now. We need reminders. We need reminders in our life. So maybe it's something you wear. Sometimes you wear a wedding ring to remind yourself of the covenant you've made with your spouse. And sometimes maybe you need to remind yourself of the covenant you've made with God. Sometimes in some churches, they will say to you, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Because in this world, it's easy to get lost. And if we don't remember the crucial moments in our life where God has changed us, that's why we have this here, to remind us that this is the point. The life change is the point. It's why we say it on Sunday mornings, life change, life change, life change. Because it matters. And if we don't remember it, we're going to forget it. For me, I journal, and I'm not talking like, dear diary, today someone smiled at me and it made me feel great, but I hate Tony. Thank you. And no, I journal about like maybe like once or twice a month. If God does something really big in my life, I went to a conference like 2 weeks ago randomly. It was super encouraging for me. So I wrote that down to remind myself when I'm feeling pretty rough that God is a God who brings encouragement and life into my life. That way I can look back and go, oh, that's not true. God hasn't abandoned me. You know those questions that Asaph asked? God, why have you left me? I have to combat that in my life or else it'll take over. So I don't know what that is for you. And what I'm going to do is That's why this looks goofy. I'm going to leave this kind of deconstructed in the back. And you guys can deconstruct this. I'm going to leave this in the back. And if you need a reminder today of God's goodness to you in your life, take one of these Legos and put it on your bathroom sink or put it in your car or I don't know, put it in your drink. And every time you drink, you'll be like, oh yeah, there's a Lego. God's good. Someone dropped a quarter. This is yours, sir. God loves you. All right, there we go. Be blessed. Yeah, right, he did. Connections. If we're not careful what we remember, who knows what we'll forget? And put our life back together, we got to look back first. We can't just do it. And so I don't know what that looks like for you today. I don't know what would be best for you. But if you're looking for a reminder, you can grab one of those Legos. And you can take it home, and maybe it'll help you do what I'm trying to do in my life, and I'm not perfect at it. I'm trying to remember that God is good, even when I can't see him. Even when I'm in the midst of something, and even when I'm looking at a world that looks pretty bleak, it looks pretty hopeless, I have to remind myself that God has done it before, and he'll do it again. He is with us. And so I wanted to read you this prayer today. And it's a prayer that I've modified from a tweet, because that's where I get all my material, as you can clearly see. Twitter. So if you would, stand with me as we go and pray this prayer if this is something that you need today. If this is something that resonates with you, pray this with me. God, who is bigger than our circumstances and misconceptions, God, who is bigger than our faults and our failures, God, who is bigger than our dreams and our schemes, God, who is bigger than our hope and our hurt, God, who is bigger than any crisis or any tragedy in our nation, in our world, in our life, Lord, God, who has always been, who always will be, help us to remember you and remember what you have done for us. Because you are not a God who leaves us alone, even when we feel like it, Lord. Help us to trust in you. And when our life is in shambles, when there are pieces and parts missing, Lord, like you did for Asaph, remind us that you have put it back together for your people to before, and you will do it again because you can and you will. In your time, Lord, and help us to be patient in the waiting, as we sang in that song. And remember that we're not alone, Lord. I pray you'd be with each one of these people that walked in here today. I pray over their lives, Lord. They're stressed out about something. And I pray that you'd give them your peace as they walk out these doors. And they would remind themselves that they can be a reminder to others of your faithfulness. I pray that you would, instead of helping us focus on ourselves and on our problems, you would focus us outward. That we would experience that life change from the inward to the outward, from ourselves to others, Lord, that you would help us with that too. And Lord, we pray this all in your mighty name. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.